Hey, Dana, are you still at your post?
Yes.
Hey, give us an update again on that police situation. Where is that at?
This is, let me pull it up to really quickly.
I think you said Schoolcraft, Riverview, right?
I didn't say the area.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Schoolcraft. No, Schoolcraft, westbound between Riverview Street and Telegraph.
Gotcha.
So that's like Livonia. Is that Livonia?
No, it's
Livonia,
right,
Detroit.
Right, yes, on the Detroit,
right
Redford
on the border.
Border.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That sounds
okay.
Right. Yep.
And then 96 westbound ramp to Telegraph.
Okay, so coming
closed.
Back the other way too. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the area where police are at because, you know, police have a hard enough job as it is on a normal day, pulling people over or conducting normal business. But when you go undercover, you are in a whole other world. You are in a whole other level of danger, and it takes a special type of law enforcement officer to conduct these types of operations and missions. And unfortunately, word this morning broke overnight that a Michigan State police trooper, undercover trooper, was shot during a narcotic situation. Michigan State Police Lieutenant Mike Shaw joins us to give an update on the latest on what's going on there. Lieutenant, nice to have you with us and good to talk with you as always. What's the latest? What do we know?
So we're still at that scene right now. Our emergency support team is out here. We have a perimeter around that apartment complex there off of Riverview Street. It's off the 96 Service Drive, Schoolcraft mm-hmm. area, Schoolcraft Telegraph. We're in the process of evacuating some of the residents that are in the apartment and also trying to determine where the suspect went. About 1:30 this morning, one of our narcotics teams was conducting surveillance operations in that complex where one of the troopers that was conducting the surveillance was shot at from a window in one of those apartments. Unfortunately, the trooper was struck by the gunfire, hit multiple times, and was transported by his team members to Sinai Grace Hospital, where he's currently in critical condition. Right now, we're asking residents to still stay in their homes in this area as we continue to sweep through this apartment complex to make sure that this suspect isn't out on foot somewhere or barricaded in one of those apartments.
Lieutenant Mike Shaw with us. These are tough situations to be in, obviously. What type of surveillance were they doing in this area? And I guess what can you tell us about the case itself?
So we won't get into a lot of details about that because it's still an open case as far as our investigation goes, and there's more people that are involved in it. We'll just say that it was a narcotics investigation that was happening in that complex. That's what those undercover officers were doing.
And how many officers were in the area?
We won't get into those details
sure.
either.
I guess my question with that is thankfully you had other officers there that were able to rush the officer hit to the hospital. And obviously, when you're dealing with these types of situations, you have people in the area. But it can be a scary situation. What does that protocol look like when an officer is hit and you need to get them to a hospital as quick as possible?
We're very fortunate with the equipment that we have through, the governor's office, the legislature, and, the criminal department. We have a lot of trauma kits and stuff, things that we didn't have when I first started. We probably had a couple of things of gauze and some Band-Aids, and that's kind of what we rolled with everywhere. Things are different now, unfortunately. Society and the possibility of troopers and civilians getting injured. So the first aid kits that they have are pretty extensive in the training that they receive. So they're able to transport them in the back of one of our unmarked cars and also do first aid on them at the same time, naturally to try to stop the bleeding and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's the protocol that we go through. Usually we won't wait for EMS or anything like that. It's a lot faster for us just to treat him ourselves and get them on the way to the hospital to get more advanced medical care.
Lieutenant Shaw joining us this morning here on the Paul W. Smith Show. Lieutenant Shaw, I was driving in this morning. I saw it blocked off going westward. What would you say to the motorists in that area? Just kind of find a different route right now as it is, as this investigation continues?
Well, you're not going to be able to get through that area. So, yes, we would suggest just staying away for one, you know, just because there's so many, you know, law enforcement agencies in this area working. Two, we don't know where the suspect is. And obviously, if he's willing to shoot at a police officer, then he's willing to shoot at anybody. So we just want to make sure that this area is safe before we allow people to kind of get back into the complex.
Is there any information we can pass along to our listeners? Any details about the suspect that we know that perhaps could help you find this person?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a description of the, and we're not even sure if there was just one suspect or two. Mm-hmm. We don't know if male, female, or anything yet. That's all things that we'll be working on as we try to figure out exactly who this person is.
Certainly a tough situation. Lieutenant Mike Shaw, we always appreciate the time and the insight that you provide, and keep us up to date on this, will you, please?
Thanks, I sure will.
Yeah, you got it. There he is, Lieutenant Mike Shaw with the Michigan State Police. Look, Sean, it's a tough situation. I mean, again, when you're put in to these types of high pressure, dangerous positions, I think, unfortunately, you're dealing with narcotics, you're dealing with drugs, you're dealing with certainly in this case, weapons. It's a scary situation for police to be in. But we also count on them to try to keep some of these dangers off the streets. And unfortunately, this did not go well today.
It's a reminder of how dangerous the job is, Chris, and I don't need to tell you, but just a reminder, whenever anything like this happens...
You have law enforcement in your family, so you know.
I can't help but think of my father. You know, when my dad would get a call in the middle of the night, and you're a kid, and you're like,
where are you going?
What's going on? Yeah. You know, it your heart goes out to the officer, and, as it stands right now, as Lieutenant Shaw said, he's in critical condition and hopefully getting the best care that he can get.
Yeah. And this kind of ties in actually with something that I want to talk about a little later on, because a new FBI report has been released, and it's their quarterly crime statistic report. And it takes a look at crime numbers in big cities, but across the board in states and all those things. And Detroit has seen a reduction in violent crimes over the same quarter, the second quarter from last year, which is great news, but you're seeing an elevated level of property crimes. So you take the good with the bad, but unfortunately, a lot of these bigger cities, because of a change of reporting requirements, aren't reporting the same ways that they used to, which means we don't really have a real look at places like New York and Chicago and LA and Houston and these big metropolitan areas where it would behoove a lot of people to know what's going on in these areas. Residents of these big cities, people looking to move into these big cities. And so when we get an underreporting, it can be frustrating because we're not getting a full picture. In Detroit, we're seeing a reduction in violent crime. We're seeing an uptick in property crimes. Unfortunately, any rise in crime just isn't good.
No.
So it's something we'll talk about a little later on as the Paul W. Smith Show continues this morning right here on WJR. Don't go anywhere.